Thank you, Elaine. We pray that God will bless you as you continue to minister for the Lord and singing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles together, please, in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy, and commencing to read in chapter 1. That's 1 Timothy chapter 1, and commencing to read in the first verse. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible truth together in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved, having turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good, if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, and a persecutor, and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And God will indeed add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we gather round thy precious word tonight, and I pray that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt, Lord, just take of this word and write it upon our hearts. We pray that our God, the simplicity of thy word, may come with power. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt, Lord, just loose the fetters of those that are bound in sin. We pray that, Lord, that you'll set them free, that you'll reach down into the miry clay, and, oh God, that you'll lift them out of the muck and the miry clay and set their feet upon a rock. And Lord, establish their going, put a new song in their mouth, even praise unto our God. And I thank thee, O God, for thy word already ministered today. And Lord, we thank thee for the opening of the scriptures this morning. And Lord, speaking to our hearts. And I pray that thou will continue to do that even tonight as we gather round the infallible book. And so to this end, O God, I simply trust thee now for power. For it is thy power that shall not fail. For words that thou this night shall give me shall and must prevail. We pray this in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. When we come to the letters of the Apostle Paul, we find that Paul wrote many letters here to many people. For example, he wrote to the church at Ephesus. He wrote to the church at Philippi. He wrote to the different churches, and to a great number of people. But amidst the letters that Paul wrote, there were four of the letters that Paul wrote that he wrote to individuals, Two letters, for example, he wrote to Timothy. He wrote 1 and 2 Timothy. And of course, 2 Timothy was the letter he wrote before the Lord called him home, and he died a martyr's death for his testimony, for the love of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also wrote that little book, which is called Titus, and then he also wrote to the letter to Philemon. And so therefore we find that four letters were written to individuals. And in the Bible we find that 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus Philemon are just put together as a little unit in the New Testament. As I said, the rest of the letters he wrote to the different and the various churches. Now, Timothy first appears, as you know, in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And when Paul was desiring to go on his missionary journey again, and how that God directed him to this young man, he called him, if you look there in verse number 1 of chapter 1, or verse number 2, it says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. And therefore it is believed that God used Paul to lead Timothy to Christ. And not only to lead him to Christ, but lead him how to serve Christ. In other words, lead him on with the Lord. And I think that's so important, and we're talking about that in the discipling classes, not only leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ, as he was my own son in the faith, and he led him to Christ, but he taught him also how to serve the Lord and what God requires. Our brother was talking about that this morning in the house of the Lord, where salvation and trusting Christ, that's only the beginning of the journey. But praise God, the rest of the journey is walking with God and, of course, talking to the Lord. Now, we find that when Paul's writing this letter of 1 Timothy to this young man in the faith, and he is writing to him, and there's a problem in Ephesus. We find that there's a problem in the church. There are those who are coming in, and they're bringing into the church corrupting doctrine. And of course, that's how crafty the devil is, because whenever people get saved, the devil doesn't want a person to be saved, but when people get saved, he would like them to be led into false teaching and to be led craftily astray. And of course, this was happening. You'll find here in verse number 3, it says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. And so we find that Timothy wants to go with Paul. And of course, he wants to continue his journey with the man of God, and I can understand that. But it says here, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus. And so, whilst he wanted to go with the man of God, we find that Paul exhorts him and commands him to stay. He desires him to stay at Ephesus. Now, of course, there's a threefold reason for that in verse number 5. Now, the end of the commandment, in other words, the purpose of him staying was, the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart. And secondly, and of a good conscience. And then thirdly, and of faith unfeigned. And so we find here that he wants to promote a love amongst the people of God, and a love for the things of God, and also to produce a good conscience and to cultivate that genuine faith in Christ rather than that which is propagated by the false teachers that Paul is speaking about. And then Paul goes on as he opens this here, this passage of God's Word, and he thinks about his own life, and how that God has led him, and how God directed him. And actually, in fact, he thinks about the privilege he has. Look at verse number 11. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And so Paul is rejoicing, and he's elaborating on his calling to the ministry, and how that he feels honored and privileged that God hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Of course, he looks back and he compares what he used to be. He said, you know, the miracle of this be been put into the ministry is this, that once I was a blasphemer, and once I, verse 13, I was a persecutor, and once I was injurious to the cause of Jesus Christ, but I obtained mercy. And so he's rejoicing in the fact that God has called him into the ministry, remembering where he once was. You know, the word injurious there tells us that Paul actually, in his ungodly day, you remember he went out to persecute the Christians. And he was on the road to Damascus to persecute the Christians. And the word injurious means that he took great delight in violence against the Christians. And so Paul was out and out for the devil. He was desirous to, he took great delight to bring violence and hurt to the people of God. And that's what he was going to do the day that God stopped him on the Damascus road and God saved him. And so he thanks God for the honor and the privilege that God has given to put him into the ministry. But then, of course, he rejoices in the fact that not only did God put him into the ministry, but my, when he thinks about what he used to be, he thanks God for his salvation. Look at verse number 16. Howbeit for this cause, I obtained mercy. And thank God, God was merciful to this man that was out and out for the devil, traveling down that Damascus road to persecute the people of God. And God stopped him. God stopped him in his track, and God spoke to him, and God called him. He called him by name. He said, Saul. He said, Saul. There was no doubt who this message was for, because the Spirit of God made it personal to his heart. And friend, it's a tremendous thing whenever God takes off his precious word and he brings it with power to your individual heart. I think it's a wonderful thing when you're reading God's word and you know God's speaking to you. God's really speaking to your heart. And my, you've got a word from the Lord. And my, as a child of God, that ought to thrill your soul, that God is really dealing with your heart. Sometimes he takes that word and he chastises us, and my, that's for our good. Sometimes he takes that word and he just simply encourages us. Sometimes he takes that word, and what he's doing is just building us up. He's edifying us and strengthening us in the things of God. But my, there was no doubt about it. That day on the Damascus road, God's servant, or God's servant now, he obtained the mercy of the Lord. He was a child of the devil, but God was merciful to him, and God saved him, and God then took him and put him into the ministry of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My, what a glorious message he has now to proclaim. Look at verse number 15. He said this, "This is a faithful saying," he said, "and it's worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Here was a message that gripped the Saul of Tarsus' heart. Here was a message, my friend, that God brought to his heart, and God, being merciful unto him, stopped him on in his track on the way to hell and gloriously saved him for all eternity. Now, I believe in verse number 15 here, we have simply the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ come into this world? And I believe we've got the answer in this passage, or this verse of God's word, and I trust that we'll just meditate upon this just for a few moments. But you know, before we go to that, and before we see why he came, we have to ask ourselves, who was the one that came? Who was the one that came? Now notice what it says here in verse 15. Christ Jesus came. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that is the one who came. The person identified is Christ Jesus. Now, of course, when we think of the Lord Jesus coming into the world, we are reminded of that angelic host when the shepherds were out there in the field in Luke's Gospel chapter 2. And there in Luke's Gospel chapter 2, it says in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them," that's unto the shepherds, "fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Jesus, which is Christ the Lord. You see, the name Jesus is Savior. And so therefore the angels announced there to the shepherds in the field, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so therefore we find here who he is, the person identified in verse 15 of 1 Timothy. It says that Christ Jesus came into the world. Now, whenever we think of his coming into the world, it's important for us to remember that before we just move on, we think about before he came into this world, he already was. And he is the eternal Son of the Father. He didn't start his existence at Bethlehem. He didn't start his existence in the womb of Mary. But the Bible tells us that in the beginning was the Word, or it is in the original, in the beginning the Word was. The Word was. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ already was existing before he came into this world as a little babe. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When we think of who he is, 1 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. And as God, he possesses a perfect wisdom, he possesses perfect knowledge and perfect power and perfect goodness and perfect truth, for he is the truth. He's the one who made this world and all things that are in this world. He's the one that rules this world. He's the one that governs this world. He's the one that upholds this world. All things are upheld, the Bible says in Colossians, by the word of his power. And so we find he is the one, this Christ Jesus who came into this world, he's the one who gave us breath and give us life and everything that we have. And he's the one that doeth whatsoever he pleases. Psalm 115 verse 3 says that he doeth whatsoever he pleaseth. And so we find that he was God. He was Christ Jesus. He was God manifest in the flesh. He became man. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 16 says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. And so thank God he was God and is God. He became man and dwelt among us. And it says in the scriptures, and we beheld his glory. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, we have not an high priest who is not touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He was really man. A man who can sympathize with you and me in our sorrows and in our sufferings. And yet a God of infinite love, of infinite mercy, infinite grace, because he's the one we need to help us. It's only a God of infinite mercy, love, and grace that is able to meet us at the very point of our need. For in that he himself suffered. Praise God, the Bible tells us he was rich. And yet for our sakes, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Christ Jesus came. It is really the Lord Jesus Christ who came from the throne of God, who came from the adorations of the heavenly hosts, who came from the mansions of glory to the trappings of manhood, to the enmity of the world, to the manger in the stable, to a world that was marked by sin and defilement. And thank God he came for you and me. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, that substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was despised and rejected of men. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Who are we talking about tonight? We're talking about Christ Jesus. We're talking about the anointed one of God. We're talking about the Savior, the only Savior, the only one who is the answer to the need of your soul tonight. Thank God there's good news in the gospel. Christ Jesus came. Now, not only do we see the person identified here, but we see the power that is implied here. Because what did he come to do? Notice the next word there. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, I know that that's not a popular word in many places today, and people talk about other things and my turning over a new leaf or being Christ-like and all of these things. Let me tell you, my friend, Jesus Christ didn't come to help to save us. Jesus Christ came to save us. That was the purpose of his coming. He came to save, the Bible says, sinners. If you turn back to that passage in John's Gospel chapter 3, you know so well. John's Gospel chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. I could ask children to repeat it tonight and they could tell me it. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. Might be saved. I love that word. I love when somebody says, my, there's a powerful ring of it. There's a powerful ring of sweet assurance there when a person can say to you, thank God I'm saved. Thank God I'm saved. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save, the Bible says, that which was lost. In John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 47, I came not for to judge the world, but to save the world. That's where the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What did he die for us for? To save us. To save us. Now, notice what it says here. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, not to teach them, but to save them, not to renovate them, but to save them. What does Jesus save us from, friend? Well, he saves us from our sin. Thank God, the Bible tells us abundantly clear that his name shall be called Jesus because he shall save his people from their sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And friend, that's the problem of the heart tonight. The heart that is deceitful and that is desperately wicked, the heart that is depraved, the heart that is bound and fettered and chained by sin. You know, we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners. But thank God there is a Savior from sin. We chorus says there's a Savior from all sin. If we only let him into our hearts, he then will reign while we trust him. He will put the evil out, cleanse from every fear and doubt, and you'll soon begin to shout, hallelujah. Thank God he saves us from sin. Thank God he saves us from condemnation. Thank God the Word of God reminds us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, friend, if you're in Christ, if you by faith have received him as your Savior, there is therefore now no condemnation. Thank God you'll never be in hell. Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know that, as John 3:16 says, they shall never perish. They shall never perish. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My friend, what a blessed word of God in John's Gospel 10 and John's Gospel chapter 3, because we have everlasting life. We'll never perish, but have everlasting life. You know, a little Indian boy was dying, and he was wandering through the valley of the shadow of death, and he turned to those that were with him, and this is what he said. He says, I've been wondering why they call it a dark valley. Because he says, I have found the light growing much brighter every day since I first believed. And he says, now it's so bright, he says, I must shut my eyes. Praise God tonight. The Lord can lighten up the valley, for he saves us not only from sin, not only from hell, but praise God, he even saves us from the fear of death. The fear of death. God's child doesn't need to fear to die. Unto the righteous, it says, there ariseth light in the darkness. Hebrews chapter 2 says this, verse number 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. My friend, listen, the psalmist said this in Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Even when it's the testing of the valley of death, that dark valley, praise God, for the child of God, it's only a shadow, and we'll fear no evil. Why? Because Christ Jesus, our Savior, is with us. He is a mighty, mighty Savior indeed. And praise God, he saves us from sin and condemnation because of our sin, and even the fear of death, and thank God, even from hell itself, and saves us and takes us to heaven. But notice what it says. Let's go a wee bit further into this verse. It says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save who? To save sinners. There's the people imparted with a salvation. It is sinners, my friend. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And if you're here tonight, you know that people like to think about themselves as best as they can, and they say, you know, well, I'm not a bad person, and I don't need this salvation, or I don't need to be saved, because I'm not really a bad person. I try the best I can, and I live a very religious life, and I go to church, and I read my Bible, and I say my prayers. Let me tell you, my friend, there is no good news for such a person in the Bible. The good news in the Bible is for sinners. Hallelujah. It's sinners that Jesus came to save. And friend, if you think that you're too good to be saved, you'll go to hell with your goodness. But my Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, who are we talking about? Friend, we're talking about you and me. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one man in this world tonight that is without sin. There is not one person tonight that is good enough to stand before a righteous and holy God, because there is no difference, the Word of God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3:10 says, there is none righteous. No, not even one. Not one, friend. Why is it then that men and women fool themselves into thinking that they're all right? Isaiah chapter 53 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans 5 verse 12 says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Why? For all have sinned. Jeremiah 17 and 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? Oh, my friend, tonight, listen, Jesus Christ came into the world to save one group of people. He came in to save sinners. That's why he came. He came in to save sinners, and that's good news tonight. For thank God there's a Savior for sinners. There's a Savior from sin, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you put yourself outside of that and you say, no, I'm not a sinner, then, friend, God's word has nothing to say to you. As far as good news is concerned, there's nothing but condemnation for your soul as you go on your Christ rejecter's way. You see, sin is a deliberate rebellion against God, and it will not go unpunished. Turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and the verse 21. Little statement there in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. It says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. And friend, tonight, let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you think. It's what God's word says, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. You'll not be able to stop the judgment of God, no matter who surrounds you with their love or surrounds you, my friend, with their protection. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. But praise God, there's a Savior who can save you from sin. You know, thank God he's able to save the young people. There's not a young person in this meeting tonight too young, but the Lord's able to save you and can change your life and your destiny. It says in Ecclesiastes 12:1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 14, it says, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Mommy, let me tell you this. If your child says, Mommy, I want to be saved, then I'll tell you, Mommy, lead her to Christ and lead them to Christ, because they need to be saved. My, there's no one too young. He can save the little children. Suffer little children to come unto me, says Jesus, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. A little girl gave her heart to Christ in Sunday school one day. And you know, sometime after that, she was caught up in a great fire. And she was very dreadfully burned. She was taken to hospital. She was seriously ill. And she would soon go out into eternity. And one night, as the little girl lay in the hospital bed, in that ward, in the quietness of that night, the nurse heard a little voice beginning to sing. And the little girl sang these words, Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given, it scatters all their guilty fear, and it turns their hell to heaven. And then the wee girl stopped. There was a quietness in that ward. And then the nurse heard her begin to sing again, and she sang these words, happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. There was a silence came over that ward. The nurse was still listening, but there was no singing anymore. And she made her way over to the little girl's side, and she saw the little girl had gone to heaven. My friend, what a testimony. Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp his name, preach him to all and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. Thank God he's able to save the little children. Thank God he's able to save the older people too. I remember us holding a mission away down in Kells and Connor. And there was the final service one Sunday afternoon, and at the end of the meeting, the appeal was given, and this old man waited behind. He wanted to speak to me. He was 92 years of age. And as I talked to that old man about the Savior, he told me his story. He said, many years ago, he says, as a young lad, I was in a meeting, and he says, old Pastor Paisley was preaching. He said, there was an invitation given. I indicated my desire to come to Christ. But he said, nobody saw my hand. I left that meeting, he said, believing that God didn't want me, or the preacher would have welcomed the indication of my desire to trust in Christ. People left that meeting that day not knowing there was a heart's cry in my heart to be saved. And he said, I went from that day, And I believe that God didn't want to save me and that God had no place of salvation for me, he said, until this mission. And he looked into my eyes at 92 years of age and a tear was running down his cheek and he said, tell me, preacher, is it true? Could God save an old man like me? That day, let me tell you, my friend, God gave me that joy of leading that old man to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he went out with a lilt in his step. Why? Because he found that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And he knew he was a sinner. Thank God that meant him. And friend, he's able to save. The Word of God says he's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And if you come to Christ, doesn't matter who you are. You can be rich or poor. You can be moral or immoral. You can be taught or illiterate. The Spirit and the bride says, come. Isaiah 55 says, let the wicked forsake his way. And the unrighteous man has thought, and let him turn unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Thank God, here's the people imparted with the salvation. It is Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save sinners. And Paul said this, of which I'm chief. He said he was the chief of sinners. Now, friend, let me tell you this. Paul wasn't the most vile person that ever lived. There's men and women have gone deeper and deeper down into sin than he. But he realized that he was a poor, lost, guilty, vile, hell-deserving sinner. And friend, until you take that place, until you humble yourself before God and see that not only you're lost, but you are completely lost in your sin, that you're not only depraved, you are completely depraved. You're not only a sinner, but you're totally a sinner. With your back to God and your face to the world and your steps on the way to hell, until you see your place as a sinner like that, friend, you'll never be able to save. Thank God he's able to save from all backgrounds. Thank God he's able to save people of every ability or inability. Because it says here, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now notice, friend, just another little thing here in this verse. Notice, where did he come to do this saving, friend? Here's the place I indicated. It says Christ Jesus came into the world. He had to come into this world. Now, the Lord Jesus didn't stay in heaven and say, you know, I just think I love that person down there in Macrofelt, and I want their life to be changed and their soul to be brought to heaven. No, friend, there was a price to be paid for sin. There was a price that had to be paid. The Word of God says the wages of our sin is death. And therefore, there was a price that had to be paid. Sin's penalty had to be paid. For God is a God not only of love. Thank God he is a God of love. For we have experienced the love of God which has been shed abroad in our hearts. But God's a God of justice. And God must punish sin, friend. And there's no cheap way to salvation. But God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son. Christ so loved us that he came, the Word of God says, into this world. You know, that means he came to where we were, where we are. He came into this world where we are. Now, some folks will be walking in the will of God in a few weeks' time. They'll be walking the streets of Jerusalem. And friend, remember, Jesus walked there. They'll be sitting in a boat and they'll cross the Sea of Galilee. Remember this, Jesus sat in a boat and crossed the sea. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, a real person. The Son of God, and yet the Son of Man, God of very God, became man of very man. He humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He dwelt among us. Yes, he came to where we were, where we are, where we were. That's where he had to come. To be our substitute. What does that mean? He came into this world, friend. That meant the cross. That meant the cross. He went one day outside the hill, outside the city of Jerusalem, to a hill crag called Calvary. And there the Bible says he bare our sin in his own body on the tree. There's no cheap way of salvation. But Christ Jesus came. He came into the sin-cursed scene of time. He who was absolute holiness and is absolute perfection. And yet he stepped down from the glories of heaven and he humbled himself and became a babe in Mary's womb. And he was born and he was laid in a manger. And he lived for 33 years a sinless, spotless, perfect, crimeless, holy life. And then he said this in so doing it. He says, Father, I delight to do thy will, O God. You see, God gave his only begotten Son because he loved us. And the Lord Jesus, God's only begotten Son, delighted in the work he came to do. It wasn't a drudgery. Friend, let me tell you this. It cost him pain. But he delighted to do the Father's will. And one day he went outside the walls of that city of Jerusalem and they put him on a tree. And all that man, evil man, could do, they did on the Son of God. They spit upon him. They tore the hairs from off his cheeks. They nailed his hands and his feet to a cross. They tore his back and plowed his back as a furrowed field. They mocked and scoffed him. They smote him when they put the crown of thorns upon the head. They smote him on the head. Yes, evil man did all that he could against the blessed Son of God, this one who came to save them. And yet they put him to a tree. But oh, my friend, that was not the sufferings of the cross. For there upon Calvary's cross, divine justice unsheathed its sword. And there upon the cross of Calvary, the blessed Son of God, the Father, took that sword of divine justice and plunged it into the bosom of his own dear Son. And there Christ bare our sins and all the punishment and all the pain, yea, all the hell for my sin. Thank God he drank damnation dry for me. But he came into this world. You know, that tells me something else, friend. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. You know, that's the place and the only place where you can be saved from sin, this world. That's the only place you can be saved from sin, friend. And if you're not saved in this world, if you do not trust Jesus Christ in this world, don't wait to the next. Don't say, preacher, but I will hold out the light of hope that somehow that in the next world God will save me from hell, that God will rescue me from the pit. No, no, friend. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Because, friend, let me tell you, when you leave this world, then it's too late to be saved. When you leave this world, it's too late to be saved. Christ Jesus came into the world to save. But if you leave this world unsaved, then, friend, it's too late. Because you'll never be saved except you're saved and you call upon the name of the Lord here in this world. For the Word of God says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Friend, there's also something else here. There's a purpose inferred here in verse 15. How does the servant of God under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost open up this great message of the gospel? What he says? He says, this is a faithful saying. In other words, this is most reliable. This is trustworthy. This is true. This is honest. This is credible. This is a word from God, friend. This is a faithful saying. You can take God at his word tonight because this is a faithful saying. This is a true saying. You can rest your soul upon what God has said here in his precious word. You know, people in this world, you've often heard it said, it's hard to believe some people's oath. You couldn't believe a word they said. Well, let me tell you, you can believe this. Praise God, you can receive this. You know why? Because this is a faithful saying. This is a trustworthy saying. This is a message from God for you, friend, tonight. Listen, this is not a free church message. This is not a McCrae message. This is God's message. And notice what it says here. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. Listen, friend, there is nothing more worthy to be accepted and believed than this message. It's worthy to be accepted by all. It's worthy of all acceptation. It's worthy to be accepted by all. Now, thank God there are people in this meeting tonight, and you have accepted this message. And thank God you're saved. And thank God you'll never perish, and thank God you'll never be in hell. And thank God there's no condemnation that's hanging over you, because thank God Christ bore it all and suffered all in your guilty room and in your stead and mine. And thank God there's no separation that'll ever come, because there's nothing can ever separate you from the love of God, because you're saved tonight. Thank God you've accepted it. You've received the Word of God and you've accepted it. Now listen, for you tonight or in this meeting that are not saved, let me ask you, what are you going to do with the Word? This is a faithful saying. The message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's good news. But listen, my friend, it's good news you must accept. It's worthy to be accepted. It's worthy to be received. I know it's not in this verse, friend, but we must ask the question. The period instructed. When must we accept this? When must we be saved? As I've said, if you're not saved in this world, friend, you'll not be in the next. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The story is told many years ago that one day a poor man entered into a church. He heard preaching for the first time in his life, friend. The preacher was preaching on this text of Scripture. He never heard any other. He didn't even hear John 3:16 text preached on. For the first time in his life, this poor old soul heard 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And you know, that night, God did something with that word. God took it from the page and God wrote it in his heart. And going home that night with a great burden on his heart, he kept saying these words. He was called Joseph. He said, Joseph, never heard such news before. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like Joseph. And then as he was talking to himself, he says, and that is a true, and that's a faithful saying. See, God made it real to him. And Joe got gloriously saved, friend. God changed his life. You know, his neighbors from after that, his neighbors heard him repeat nothing more than those words. Because that's the only gospel he ever heard. Hadn't got a Bible, couldn't read it. But that night he heard it. Sometime after that, old Joe was dying. Some of the neighbors gathered in and some of the friends gathered in. And they thought it not good that Joseph took all his comfort from Christ alone. Because that's all his comfort was in. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And that saying's true. And that saying's faithful. God wrote it in his heart. And so therefore they gathered round the bed and they asked him this question. They said, Joseph, what say you of your heart? Is there no token for good in it? And old Joe replied, "Ah, no," said he, "Joseph can act nothing. Joseph has nothing to say for himself, but that he's the chief of sinners. Yet, seeing it as a faithful saying that Jesus, he who made all things, came into the world to save sinners, why may not Joseph after all be saved?" And friend, Joseph had a comfort not only for life but for death. And the gospel he grasped was in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But listen, it's worthy. It's worthy of acceptance by all. Will you accept it? Will you accept the word from God tonight? This faithful saying from God, that he loves you, that he sent his darling son. What more do you need? Men and women without Christ, what more do you need to hear? For the salvation of your soul, there is a Savior. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. You take your place as a sinner and put your name in there, like old Joe. Christ Jesus came into this world to save me. And knowing that that's why he came, friend, then accept that salvation. Accept it by faith. Reach out the hand of faith and say, "Lord Jesus, you came into this world to save sinners. Lord, save me." You know the story. Peter was in that boat. He stepped out of the boat and he was going to walk on the water, and then he got caught up with the winds and the waves. He took his eyes of the Lord and he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, Lord, save me." It says, and immediately he stretched forth his hand and he caught him. You ask God to save you tonight, and listen, it's a faithful saying. And it's worthy accepting. Christ Jesus came into the world to save you, friend. You. And as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, what more has he got to say to you? It's simple as that, friend. You can be saved. But salvation is only in Christ Jesus. Nobody else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word tonight. We thank you, O God, for so loving us that thou didst send thy Son, and we thank thee, blessed Lord Jesus, for so loving us that you came to save us from our sin. And we thank thee, blessed Holy Spirit, for so loving us to reach our hearts with that sweet news of the grand old gospel and for drawing us to Christ. Oh God, we pray that for those tonight who are not saved, don't let them go on another night without you, Lord. Please, God, save them now. In this meeting, Lord, save them now. For that's why you came. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, listen. He's a Savior mighty to save. Praise God, He'll save you. He's able to save to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Will you come through Christ? Will you receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight? As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and our sister will play in a moment a little verse of that hymn, "Just As I Am." And if there's someone here tonight and you say, "Preacher, I realize the simplicity of the gospel. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief, even the worst of sinners, Jesus was able to save. Lord, save me." Will you call on the Lord tonight? And if there's one in this meeting, you say, "Preacher, please point me to Christ. Brother McKee, point me to Jesus Christ, friend. I know our brother would love to, so would I. Would love to point you to Jesus Christ, but oh, in God's name, come." This Christ Jesus and this faithful saying is worthy of your acceptance. Acceptance by all. Just indicate that desire, friend. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you can slip that hand above your head and indicate that desire. "Preacher, lead me to Christ. O Lamb of God, I come." Is there someone tonight in the closing moments of the meeting? God knows who you are and where you are tonight. You need the Lord if you're not saved. It's not the church you need, it's Christ you need. It's not the preacher you need, it's Christ you need. Is there someone say, "Yes, by faith I receive Christ as my Savior"? Would you just lift your hand above your head tonight? Anywhere in this gathering, I beg you in God's name, don't go on, man, woman. Don't go on another night without Christ. He's the one. I come. Heavenly Father, by thy Holy Spirit, please speak on. The voice of man will be silent in a moment, but O God, by thy Holy Spirit, follow after the lost. Don't let them go away without you. Because if they're not saved, they'll be damned. Please save them tonight. Don't let them go to hell. Don't let our loved ones perish tonight. Save them now. You'd like to speak to us after we pronounce the benediction, make your way around the side of the building, side door, or through the door at the front here. Don't go away without Jesus. There's an anxious soul listening in on the World Wide Web tonight, and you say, "I'd love to be saved." Why don't you lift that phone and give us a call, 028-796-31456, and we'll point you to Christ. Friend, call on the Lord tonight. He's mighty to save. Heavenly Father, separate us your blessing. For Jesus' sake. Amen.